Time to take that warp pipe to level 4-1. It's Jet Theory Radio. Live from the ATX, and welcome to Jet Theory Radio. This is episode 2, our continued discussion with the band Later Days. I'm David, but you may know me better as the one they call Jetter. Thank you for tuning in and giving us an ear as we continue our discussion, like I said, with Later Days. As always, the man to my left, Mr. Gail Murren.
The Shady Justice. Jetter's voice of reason.
Oh, not my voice of reason. It's just the voices in your head that you're talking from.
The voice of reason.
Don't mind him. Gail's been drinking, and I know we talked about it during the first one, but I don't think we had an intro for the second half of the podcast.
No.
So what beverage were you again enjoying that evening?
It was Circles Envy.
Their anniversary beer. I remember you
pointed they're out to having me. An anniversary.
They're
it was
having
not their
an
anniversary.
Anniversary
beer.
Oh, okay.
It's the amber beer in a green can.
Well, I guess with that ringing endorsement from you, I'll give it a try sometime. I don't know. Sometimes
good.
You like things that are just on a different taste level than me.
That's fine.
That's a little differences like that. But before we continue our discussion here, let's just go ahead and continue the discussion with Later Days. Ladies and gentlemen, here you go.
Where do you want to go with Later Days?
In general?
Yeah.
That's such a fucking loaded statement. I think
it is.
I think the point is.
A loaded statement. I agree. Where
is
do
it
you
like,
personally in the band want to go?
Where, well, here's your like where's that. Your measurement of success? And this is actually more like, because you get this is not your first band that a lot of you guys have been in.
Right.
I'm assuming that everybody, like, this is
but
not
there's first one. I think the more interesting thing about Later Days is not where do I want to go with Later Days? I'm 29-year-old. I'm fucking the youngest dude in the band. I don't play music casually. I think it's kind of obvious why a lot of us play music. But I think the more interesting thing about Later Days is just the devil may care, you know, why is this band different? Why is this band more fun than any other band I've been in? Why, you know, and I think it's, you know, when this band was started, it was started with me and Eric, who originally were going to sing, and around this time last year, and, you know, we just picked up things along the way. We set ridiculous goals that we just kind of said, fuck it, you know what I mean? And that's just been the kind of thing, like, reaching these moments, reaching these little goals, you know, it's like...
What's been some of the goals? Like, I assume an album...
Well, yeah, well, the first it was like, hey, we're not a band, we're not doing anything, let's spend $4,000 on a full-length record
mm-hmm.
when we don't even have any members. Or, you know, mm-hmm. it'd be cool to do this, it'd be cool to tour, okay, we're gonna do it. It's like, you know, you spend so much time planning things, you don't really need to... I was watching, it's odd because I was watching Deathly Hallows 2, you know, the Harry Potter movie yesterday, and they're like, oh, well, we're going to go to the castle and we're going to take Hogwarts, we're going to take it back over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Ron, he's like, why? He's like, we always make these plans, we go to these places, and everything gets crazy. So it's
mm-hmm.
like, why spend so much time on it? It's like, this is my plan, this is my goal, you know, and this is how we're going to reach it. So if you ask me, like, what is the goal for Later Days, it's like, it's just more so it's like, how can I make art sustainable? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if this is my art, you know, you don't go to a gallery to see a band. So it's like, my gallery is how can I get this music out to as many people?
Mm-hmm.
How can it play as many places? How can I have as much impact as humanly possible? And whatever that means is what the goal is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, being so young, every band's first tour is momentous in the fact that you may find that you hate everybody in your band.
Mm-hmm.
You may find that you cannot get along with these people, and there's nothing you can do. It's over.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think along the way, we found out that we do really, you know, care about each other, and this isn't just fun, and, you know, that's kind of the next step, you know?
I mean, I see it, like, with the tattoos you guys all get. Mm-hmm. Like, when I saw that picture on Instagram, I thought, oh, this is really awesome. Like, you guys all are just, like, you're in it to win it and just to keep it going.
Only way out's in it.
How's that tattoo, Sam?
Some more infected than others. Oh. One more infected than others.
It's that much more into your skin.
You see us as, like, a unit. Mm-hmm. We're old enough to know what we want, and we're dumb enough to want to... You know, somebody said to me earlier today, I have a friend who's also a musician, and he was talking about, it's like somebody, it's like, I was talking about how I was gone. He's like, so-and-so worked a lot of hours, they made a lot of money. And I was like, I don't really care about money. And he's like, I do, it allows me to do what I want to do, it allows me to play music. And I was like, the older I get, the more I realize that it's sacrifice more than money. Mm-hmm. Money helps, you definitely need the money, but it's sacrifice allows me to do what I want to do. Like, you know, like having that goal and not, and having this, like, you know, this identity and knowing who I am and knowing what I want and finding like-minded people. It's like, oh man, I don't think this person wants to tour. I guess we'll find out when I find out. I know where everybody in this band sits. Mm-hmm. And that's a very powerful thing. You know what I mean? So it's, I'm rambling, but.
No, yeah, it's fine.
It's like sacrifice because, is the thing.
And I agree, but so you're a founder. So Matt, where do you feel? Where do you sit?
I'm a founder, but it's, you know, equal. Everything is equal.
No, I agree.
Is there anything, like, fundamentally different? Like, your approach to music, your approach to this band, stuff like that? Or I'm assuming it's generally the same, because everybody's got to, for the band to mesh the way you guys all are meshing and stuff like that, you guys all have to have that common, you know, this is what we want out of it. I mean, is it more the art for you than any kind of, like, really reaping a financial reward?
It's definitely the most serious band. You know, any other band that I've been in, it's, you know, done some small regional touring, but nobody has been as serious as this band. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their own, I guess you could say, gifts and talents aside from just being a musician. You know, some people are good at, you know, promotion or just, you know, being more of a, like Brendan, he's just a good speaker, a good front man. So everyone brings something good to the table that really just pushes this band forward, and to be part of it, I mean, it's been great so far.
A lot of just mutual respect and understanding of, like, the strengths and weaknesses of anybody in the band, where you just, okay, you divvy up the responsibilities. Hey, you're good at this, do this, you're good at this, do that.
It's not even divvying it up. I think we just fall into our roles. You know, it's everybody has a niche. You know what I mean?
I'm assuming then, like, when it comes, how do you guys, like, when I knew Eric was, like, putting together some songs and stuff beforehand, it seemed like he was putting, like, you and him would, like, work together, and I'd see, like, you know, the result of that, like, you guys combining and, like, structuring music that way. Is there ever a time you guys just all come together and just jam out, or is there a lot of more planning with the songs beforehand, before it actually, like, goes forth?
You want to answer this?
No. Very little jamming.
A lot of it is, honestly, like, the quest of, like, what Later Days is, and Later Days music, and My approach to songwriting personally is kind of the more or less not trying to sound like douchey or like, you know, as like more or so the principal songwriter in this band musically. It's like, it's all just been a quest for better songwriting. My band could be awesome, my band could suck, but good songwriting is undeniable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you think that Bye 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 is such a killer song because it's a killer song.
Poppy as fuck.
You can't say shit. Even if you were in middle school and you tried to talk shit because Jinkos were cool and you know, whatever. But it's like, you know, it's like, so it's like when this band started, it's like we didn't have a singer. So, like, you know, some other people had to write lyrics, other people had to do stuff. And, like, so for me, it's like how can I write better songs? And on the first record, it was just all about writing good songs. And on this record, it's about writing little things, sending it to Brendan, having him come up with a hook and following his lead. So it's ever changing. It's like, there's a lot of bands that can do a lot of great things. And I want, and, you know, and I would love to do all those things, but it's like, songwriting has always been a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. Songwriters have always been a thing I've been, you know, very interested in. And, that's kind of what I'm always thinking about. I take very long breaks in between albums to just think.
Just
to think about, listen to stuff that I love. You know, like, there was a...
Some question. So, from release to release,
yeah,
where do you feel is the appropriate time?
I'll get to that in a second. I think the thing that really opened my eyes to songwriting and that in general is I was listening to an interview with Billy Corgan where he was talking about the difference in Nirvana between Nevermind and the album that came out before it. And he was like, these guys discovered the Beatles and clearly took that, you know, kind of structure to it. Yeah. And then he wrote Siamese Dream. You know what I mean? He took that same approach and like those kinds of things have always, it's like, it made sense to me. As far as an album cycle appropriate, it's hard when you're starting out because it's like, you may feel your body of work is really good, but if you're in an unsigned band, it's like, you're never going to get the amount of time unless you take 3 to 4 years of touring really heavily to break that album. You know, it's not like you're in like the, you know, the musical machine that's going to, you know, put out, you know, Call Me Maybe, your first single, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or you know what I mean, though? It's like, so these, you know, you just got to be happy with what you're doing. And you just need to do, it's like, I think 2 years for any band, I enjoy 2 years until it doesn't make sense. You know, like, I like bands like Queens of the Stone Age that write different albums all the time. But then I also like bands like, I don't know, man. I like bands like Jimmy Eat World, you know, that don't really do that. You know what I mean? It's like, so 2 years, when you're a new band, I think 2 years is good. You got Dance Gavin Dance that puts out a new album every fucking year. You know what I mean? They're all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So
it sounds like you'd like the more, like, in, there's a lot of investing that you like taking, a lot of time and just like, you know, not really meticulous planning, because I think you offer enough like a variety where like if something spontaneously happened, you're cool with it and you can run with it. But it seems like it's a lot more time of like, I want to really make sure this matures the way it should be.
Yeah, and that, and I think in the band, like our band is in that little spot right now where it's like we've accomplished all the goals that we had set, and now we need to figure out what the next set are. And like what's good about putting out a single and trying to get that. It's like, I think the goal of the band now is, like I said before, to
dominate the world.
To get to that, some sort of sustainability or dominate the world, as my friend said.
I mean, world domination is always in the cards every day we go out into the world. If it's not for anybody else, so I don't know.
It's a pinky in the brain kind of life, man.
So, like, when you were saying what you were saying, there were a few things that it was really reminded me of. I listened to this interview that Metallica had, and it was a band like I really enjoyed. Like for years, I had the opinion of they blew up, they sold out, and
Metallica,
yeah, and they just didn't really. They went away from what they were. They had a lot of years in between albums to like try to get something together and stuff like that. But then during this interview, they talked about every, you know, they do well themselves financially, but every amount of profit they get, they reinvest into the band and just to keep getting it going, to blowing it up and stuff like that. I'm assuming, I'd assume, but I just want to like check, is that something the entire band's down with? Like,
what,
just
reinvesting?
Reinvesting in the band.
We didn't take a single dollar out of what we made on tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm assuming that will go to something else. So, yeah, I mean, you can't really, it's like if I were to pay myself, then I would just have to put more money into the band. You know, that money would then go back into the band.
Has anybody here ever made money from a band?
Man, I get those 50 cent checks. You know what I'm saying? I've taken home some money.
Here gets a lot
come
of
up
money.
Here, come up here.
Come
up
here.
Yeah.
Can you?
Because I want to like
rich.
I
want
to find out a little bit
here
about measurement of success and when it comes to like making money.
So talk about where it hit that point where you were making money off.
Yeah.
It's actually a lie. I never did really. That's the irony. There was a short time where like my rent was paid and my bills were paid, but I was on tour like 8 months out of the year, you know. Yeah. So it was kind of, you had to do what you had to do. So
what did being on 8 months out of the year tour feel like?
It was okay, like money wise, because you had like a per diem, so you had like a little bit of money every day, and you had like a buyout or food.
Were
you know, at the club,
at the
some of it, some not. Some, yes,
so
some
how
not.
How was that strain on you? Like, how was that strain on you personally?
Man, yeah, having to like be like, hey, we had like a few bad shows. Can you pay for rent? Never a fun conversation to have, especially when you're never home. So that's a little fun.
Okay.
But it's what you sign up for.
Yep.
That's what you sign up for.
So if some record company came around, is there would there be a price point that you guys would sign with a major label, or do you like the building that you're doing now for everything?
There would be a definite price point for me, for sure. Like, mm-hmm. I've kind of had sort of a little bit of experience.
So you know
that.
Your security points.
Definitely. I would need to know I have, like, 100% tour support. Like, if my transmission goes, I need to know that you'll be able to, like, take care of it. You know, whether... Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have to do it myself with AAA or... Like, I need to know that I can make one phone call and, like, I'll be okay. It was never that way. Like, it was never that way. So...
See, like, one thing I found out in Austin is that they... How they treat the creative community here in town is offering health insurance.
Sure.
And that's something
it's fantastic.
I've never, I would never think that like a city would offer that, you know.
Do they offer?
I swear to God.
Do any of you use that?
Yeah. I have before. Yes, I have before.
Dave, is it good?
Dave has it,
Dave gets canceled?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like a charge card, basically.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah. Actually, the last couple of years, they've just basically helped you, like, enroll in Obamacare, and they will, like, will actually pay for your monthly payment, so.
So it's all through Obamacare, then?
Well, it is now, but they help, they assign you somebody that, like, will help you that whole process, and then they'll actually end up running the bill as well. So, like, $150, $140, $170-ish a month.
That's not too bad. It's actually not bad at all.
Oh, yeah. Dental vision.
And it doesn't have to be tied to a job or anything because it's just...
You have to, like, prove that you're, like, a working musician. So with flyers, which is pretty easy to prove. I don't really know what their stipulations are.
I've seen
but
the application.
Like,
it's actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was not really hard. I mean, I'm playing three bands.
I mean, you
so.
Have to prove that, yeah, three venues
it's
that
fine.
Played. I mean, for guys like you have played... Funny, I mean,
sure, you could say you went on tour for 10 days and be like, oh, you're clearly like, doing something. So, yeah.
See, that's where I don't get, like, they say that it's a shrinking, like, creative community here in Austin, because if you have benefits, more or less, like that are going to take care of that one aspect, you know, a very important one.
We're it, though. Like, nobody else has. It's really crazy. I don't know. There's just too many of us, man. Too many of us in the band. Too many of us trying to compete.
How many, for every, even the peanut gallery back there.
Hey!
Including the one on his phone.
Hey!
How many of you guys came to Austin specifically for the music scene to try to make it here?
I came to Austin to not play music.
I did.
Came to Austin for a job. I was not a musician.
I was going to go back to school.
Moved here in 2000 with my high school band from San Angelo, Texas. We won like a songwriting contest and won like five figures. Between the three pieces. It's pretty good. So I got like a large sum of money and was like, I want to leave. I want to quit college and move up here.
Mm-hmm.
I moved here and that was that. Instantly met like everybody thrown into the scene, playing great shows. And
great. You said you moved
I moved here to mainly focus on music from a small town in Kentucky and there's not a lot going on.
Lexington?
Lexington? No, not quite.
Everybody thinks I'm from Lexington.
No, it's a super small town. I just felt it was, you know, time to you know, leave and come here. So I, you know, quit the job I was at for like 5 years, cashed in my 401k and just paid off my car and just
giving it a go.
I packed everything I could fit in my car, strapped a mattress on top of it, and just drove.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maddie!
Still have the mattress?
Yes.
He's got a mat.
It's a very comfortable mattress.
Hey, if it's comfy, keep it around. You know, why not?
Yeah. All the way from Lexington, listen up.
It was an interesting trip because it was wrapped in this gray tarp, so it looked like I was smuggling this big brick of drugs on top of my car.
Now, what kind of car were you driving?
At the time, it was a Scion XB.
Oh,
so it fit perfectly. Like it was, it fit a full size mattress just perfectly.
See, I'd be afraid that it would just like the mattress. The wind would catch underneath the mattress and just.
Oh, it was strapped very well.
Very well.
Okay. That's happened to me before.
That has happened to me before. As well.
I hit Dallas
on
and the tarp had ripped.
Yeah,
finally, the wind got to
it,
and
it
just ripped it apart somehow.
I just drove,
flapping around, and I just kind of duct taped it together to get from Dallas to Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. there's an interview, weirdly enough, I heard with Moby.
Okay.
And he put music into perspective for me that I want to get a musician's opinion on to see if this makes sense or not.
Okay.
The idea is that music is something really weird because it's not a physical object.
Right.
You're essentially, you're creating something in the air. You're creating vibrations in the air.
It's physical in the sense that we can perceive it with our physical senses, which is our audible system. So if we're able to, our eardrum is able to perceive the vibrations, then it's physical in that sense. It's not tangible in the sense of this is a business outcome, which we print it on a chart and we say this is the profit margin. But it's definitely physical in the sense that there is something happening that requires one of our senses to recognize it. And the subjectivity that happens there is that that's the thing about art is you can't say is it's good or it's bad. You can say I like it or I don't like it, and that's
there
it.
There is a tangible substance at the end. That's why you make the...
Sure. And yeah, so that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like you absolutely can... There is a tangible, the CD, physically, sure, that's a thing that you can hold, all right? And then you put it in your CD player, and then it plays music. You can hear that, and that's a thing that you can hear. So even though you can't touch something, doesn't mean it's not tangible. If you can see, hear, touch, smell, feel something, it's tangible. If you can perceive anything with any of the senses, it's a tangible, physical thing.
But you can't sit there and you can't grab it and say, here's music. And I can't, like, physically, like, wrap my hands around it and just, like, give it to you. Like, I can a CD. A CD is something, like, you know, is that physical aspect.
Sure, you almost can.
Sure, I get that. But that's also the difference between being, you know, if you're a blind person, you can hold on to something. You can't see it, but you know that it's there. If you're a deaf person, you know, you can still write music and not be able to hear it.
But you can almost throw a CD like that. What you exactly said you can almost do these days. Thanks to iTunes, for instance.
Legos.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, you can say, hey, drop share it to him, and he can listen to it.
Yeah, so the, like, I mean...
So literally, almost physically...
If we're going to talk about, like...
phone to phone...
Sure. Sure.
You can wham, bam.
But that's just the physical media form.
So yeah, I actually...
Still, like, that's what I'm saying.
I actually, like...
It still takes,
you know,
a physical element.
Whether it's a cassette tape, or a CD, or a record, or a 7-inch, or you're streaming it from Spotify or Pandora, it doesn't matter. What you're hearing is the tangible thing. You can talk about its mediums, what physical source that it emanates from, but what you're hearing is the tangible outcome.
So let me, just to finish the description, because they were talking about copyright. And to Moby, it was weird that you could copyright, you know, you're not copyrighting a CD, but you're copyrighting the sound, the vibrations in the air.
They call that, intellectual property. That's the legal term for it, yeah.
Yeah. That's what was strange to him. Like, you have this, you have rights over something that isn't really there.
Sure, right. Well, I mean, that delves into a very deep existential philosophical conversation, but... I mean, it's the same thing when, what's his name? Vanilla Ice took the beat from Queen's, David Bowie's Under Pressure, and he tried to differentiate the beat from theirs, and it's very minimal.
Go ahead. The same thing. Yes. It was when Dane Cook made a simple joke, verbal. All comedians do is verbal. Made a simple joke, but essentially stole... Louis C.K. joke.
There's a very stark difference between comedians and how that level of copyright and like that world treats people.
No, actually, there
well,
is not.
There's. It let me finish my thought.
Copyright
there's a
laws
difference.
Can apply
the exact same law.
No,
yeah. Copyright.
But the community,
laws,
it's the way the community approaches it. The comedian community understands that there's a little bit of joke stealing and stuff like that going on. They get that. There's some people that get once you reach a certain.
But the same
like,
with music. There's a little bit. There's only.
There, well,
like,
but
you
there's
can
legal
do a riff,
cases.
But you can do
the
slightly differently.
Sure.
The difference between music and comedians, and this is something I read a lot about, is that musicians are very specific with what they're doing. Like there's, it's that's why it's weird to me. Like, you have a copyright over a certain way, a certain set of, like, vibrations in the air.
Chord progression or whatever.
Yeah.
There's, the thing is, there are a million chord progressions that have been, like, top 40 pop hits. And there have been a million jokes that have all been the same, told in different ways.
Exactly.
So in terms of artistic expression, there really almost is no originality anymore. We all beg, steal, and borrow. We all take from our influences. That's how I would put it. But I would say it's all subjective because it depends on the aesthetic preferences of the listener. But, you know, if you want to look at it from an objective standpoint, sure, you can say that songs or films or jokes are formatted in a certain way because that's what we have found is going to give the best return on investment, the best laugh to the punchline or the biggest cheers to the end of the song or whatever.
Well, see, that's where it's weird because, like, certain chord progression, you can copyright that. A certain joke structure, you cannot copyright that. Like, Louis C.K. has a certain way of presenting a joke. Or, like, Mitch Hedberg has a certain way of presenting a joke.
I think you can copyright anything. I would say, so from my experience in just, like, writing papers throughout the years and my educational experience, I would say if you are going to take any words or chord progressions that go beyond, like, a few lines, usually it's 3 to 4 words in a paper. Mm-hmm. It's probably more than one bar in or measure in a song. At that point, you're kind of breaching the intellectual property expectations of originality. So, I mean, every song has like a G chord or a C chord or a D chord in it, and they're very familiar, popular. Actually, Nate, I feel like you should speak to this a little bit because I feel like there are so many songs out there that have similar chord progressions but are played in different ways or sung to different melodies that it doesn't necessarily infringe on any other artist's original works.
I think the most interesting case of copyright that I've seen in my lifetime has been that Coldplay song.
Oh, Bring Me the Horizon?
The Day I Ruled the World?
Yeah, with U2.
Well, U2 said something about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it came out, the melody was this thing that Steve Vai played on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the lyrics were also the same as these lyrics from the 1600s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a band from the 60s or 70s that also sued them
mm-hmm.
for, like, a similar thing. You know, it's just like, I was not paying attention when y'all were talking, and I don't know what we're talking about.
Okay, so I would like to go
copyrights
over
copyrights and
I would like to go over property. Patenting an idea.
Well, with like comedians though, like you can't copyright.
It's like, just you and me, baby. Might as well.
Yeah.
With like inflection, cool. The way you say something or anything like that, you can't copyright like the way a joke.
Yes,
means.
You can.
Can you?
Can I explain that?
Yeah. No, seriously.
Yes. Patenting an idea.
Yeah, I got an iPhone too.
I got a computer right there.
You can patent a design.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you can patent a new shape of a boat or a plane.
But how do you...
Physical objects. Okay, so physical objects.
Even if you haven't actually built it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But do you... How?
That's...
Hold on, I'll get to that. You can specifically engineer a new substance or organism.
Mm-hmm. Physical objects, physical object.
Even if you haven't been able to create it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you patent a man walks into a bar?
You can patent an abstract theory.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it would be impossible to interact.
Abstract theory. Okay, again, stuff that has a physical sense to
but
it.
But you can't...
Joke
no,
structure.
No.
You can't patent
that's,
once
that's,
upon
no,
a time.
No, that's where it falls into. What I'm saying. That's where this falls into. So songs and jokes fall into abstract theory.
I'm talking more with my old like idea. I
so
think
here's a more substantial one. It's about computer software.
So here,
again, that's a physical thing.
Since you're looking
no,
stuff, since you're looking stuff up though, and more
how
relevant,
is a how is a computer thing not something physical?
More relevant,
because it doesn't talk about.
more relevant to this conversation, and since you're on your phone anyway, can you come up with, from the internet, one example of a joke being copyrighted?
All right. I will. Right. So you guys,
because this was my fundamental like disagreement with your comparison between musicians and like comedians. No, I'm saying he's wrong. I'm going to say it right on out.
Heard it here, TV land.
One is because of how the community treats joke stealers versus how like musicians treat.
Well, yeah, but it's very easy for Seth Rogen to go into a Carlos Mencia show with a dude and be like, "Hey, we're at a quiet thing, and you're talking, and you're a fucking fake." You know what I mean? Like, I can't walk into like a Coldplay show and be like, 6,000 people, shut the fuck up! It's going down, I can't stand for this no more.
And it was Joe Rogan, not Seth Rogan.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck. They're both great guys.
Great but guys. It was a different way, like... When you have an album...
Carlos Mencia is a bitch, by the way.
Yes. When you have an album as a comedian, there are certain things that will bring down that comedy record, and it's more like how the community treats you. That's not so much... It's more legal, I think, when it comes to musicians and to bands than it ever gets near any kind of comedians. Because the Recording Industry Artists of America and how they get into things and stuff like that, I think there's more of a legal force, more legal justification for that than there is for anything on a comedy set.
I know with music, there has to be a certain number of points. Like, if you wrote a riff, there has to be a certain amount of points in my riff that I come out with that have to be slightly altered for it to not be copyright infringement.
Mm-hmm.
So, so it's like, how do you relate that to something else? You know, such as a joke. Like, how do I slightly change it up? And where does parody law come into it? Can't I just say, if you're like, a man walked into a bar and I was like, a man walked into a shitty bar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and I told the exact same joke. Is that they're different?
So what I'm reading.
Do you have one example?
Actually, it's a Jimmy Carr.
Fuck Jimmy Carr. I don't know that. Sure, it's a great
British comedian.
That's fair.
It just seems more like a opinion.
Yeah, hold on.
It just seems more like an opinion. Like, hey, that's way too close. That's frowned upon. But there's no way to. I don't think legally like copy. Here's the thing I did to not get sued.
Someone came up to me last week and complained about a joke. Quite a big bone girl. She said, "I think you're a fattest." The other comedian said, "No, I think you're a fattest." So there's one actual letter change in that. In fattest to fattest.
Okay.
So
where's the copyright?
That's it.
There was an actual case with that.
Yeah. So the I changed to an E and it wasn't copyright.
This is... I feel stupider just here. I feel like that scene in Billy Madison.
Yeah.
That tells the story about the dog.
Yep. But at the same time, you put that on a t-shirt, it's automatic copyright no matter what.
Because that's a different thing. That's no longer a comedian delivering a stand-up. That is a physical object.
So that you're kind of right there.
I am right.
But that's the thing. You can't copyright.
Kind of.
Can you copyright a slogan?
Yes. If someone else says the exact same slogan.
Because like I can copyright music because I can write the sheet music down and send it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure you can copyright.
If the attention
slogan,
if the attention of the crowd is for the same reason. It's copyright.
You heard it here. Everyone's been dying to know the answer.
See, we know some entertainment lawyers who could probably listen to this and tell you how wrong you are.
They can tell you like in a second.
Yeah.
How wrong Gail Mern is.
Nope. They're going to tell me I'm right.
If there was a movie you guys could create the soundtrack for, a la Queen Highlander,
Highlander? I thought it was Queen Flash Gordon.
No, Queen did the entire soundtrack for Highlander and Flash Gordon too. Yeah. Both movies.
Hey, I'll just drink some alcohol. Are y'all talking Queen Flash Gordon soundtrack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming on this conversation.
Oh, God. So I
think we're going to see this.
I want to know what movie would you guys want to do the entire soundtrack for?
If you
could put in your original songs, but what movie Would you guys want to do a soundtrack for?
No. You want Flashdance?
Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Love Actually.
Just fucking look around there and see this movie.
Love Actually? Oh, it's so meme-rific. So you ever seen, Andrew Lincoln from Walking Dead?
I know about it. Okay. I'm aware of Love Actually. Really, I love rom-coms. They're my favorite movies, so...
So I want you guys to pick a rom-com.
A rom-com. That's already been out?
I'm going Serendipity.
Cousins. Serendipity? You want some John Cusack?
Cousins.
Is the movie a rom-com? Love for an unborn child.
You can't go wrong with that.
So, it's funny.
I see you guys.
That's so hard. I really... You know what? All my favorite soundtracks were for 90s, like, coming of age kind of things, like Angus.
Empire Records.
Yeah. So it would have to be something like that, focused on, like,
Reality Bites.
Main characters, like, somewhere between 16 and, like, 25.
So this is where I get weird.
Yeah.
I think you guys would work out perfectly for, what was it, Twins?
Arnold and Danny DeVito.
I said Arnold and Bob Hoskins.
Yeah,
man.
I definitely
Where are
think
you?
Later Days is hands down a Twins band. Put that. Make sure that is in the headline.
Later Days is a Twins band.
Certainly.
Have you guys seen it? Yeah. Thumbs up.
I have
Peanut Gallery.
Actually, I've
Twins?
Not seen it. I just yes. I'm gonna Devin. I'm gonna roll.
I mean, they try to be.
I'm gonna bet on
that. They talk about making a triplets movie with Samuel L. Jackson.
Exactly.
With Samuel L.
Yeah. Samuel will do anything. If the price is right, Samuel will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, he'll do it just fuck of it.
Hey, they're gonna make a new Twins with Eddie Murphy.
Was it Eddie Murphy?
I thought it was Samuel L. Jackson for some reason.
No, it's Eddie Murphy.
Different
guys.
Black actors.
Update. It's Eddie Murphy.
But Eddie Murphy being in a funny movie would take a lot. Because when's the last time he was funny in a
Norbert.
Movie?
Meet Dave.
I'm what?
I'm just kidding.
Thank you. That was our conversation with the band Later Days. We're running out of time here for this podcast, so once again, I want to thank Later Days for joining us. You can find them on the Instagram, LaterDaysTX. Also be sure to check them out, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music. Anywhere where you can find music, you can find Later Days and their debut album, Lost in the Sound. Gail Murren, do you have any parting words?
This was a good one.
That it was.
It was a good one.
It was got a little crazy there at the end, but mm-hmm. You know what? I enjoyed it.
I'm gonna still go fun do a shot.
You're gonna do one right now?
Says Brendan.
Well, since he said to do it, let's go ahead and do it.
Let's go do it.
We're done podcasting.
Yeah, I know.
And they're done listening. So thank you all for tuning in. If you want to go ahead and follow us, please everywhere. We have the Instagram and Twitter handles of Jet Theory Radio. That's JETT Theory Radio. You can add .com to the end of that if you want to visit our website. And always, we're on YouTube as well. Like our fan page on Facebook. It is where you find all information about when podcasts are being posted, what's the latest news, some funny behind-the-scenes stories, all that fun stuff. So
and pick up a shirt.
Yes, we're going to have shirts for sale here soon. We'll have details posted for that. Help fund us. The logo was both logos that we have and all logos that we have on our Facebook page. We're designed by one Brent Hall.
Love it, Brent.
It's awesome work. I can't, like, when the, it was just earlier today that the t-shirts came, and I looked at the first one, and I just had to put it on right away. It popped. It was electric. You can just see it for yourself. I don't need to describe it to you. Go out and see that.
He had a weird moment with himself.
Oh, it was joy. Joy. And I think that'd be it for us. James, let's end this.
Jet Theory Radio.